Hello, you're listening to the Og Blog Podcast, the podcast for fans of Peanuts books. But you probably already know that. After all, you downloaded the thing. But maybe you accidentally clicked on the wrong podcast on the list. Maybe you meant to click the one above it, the Aardvark Lovers Show. Although I should warn you, that one's not always safe for work. Or the one below it on the alphabetical list, the Aww, Isn't That Adorable Podventure, which is nothing but an hour of teen girls describing kitty pictures they found on Instagram. But even if you got here by accident, stick with us. Maybe I'll unleash the secret Peanuts book lover inside of you. Now, way back in 1965, several major things happened in the world of Peanuts. For one thing, I was born, which may not seem so major to you, but I gotta say it's very important to me. For another, a Charlie Brown Christmas hit TV, and the powerhouse that was the Peanuts animated special was well and truly launched. And some, I think he was a divinity student at the time, a guy named Robert Short, released a book called The Gospel According to Peanuts, and launched an industry. And I used to believe it launched an industry larger than what I'm going to talk about. To the best of my admittedly limited knowledge, I saw that as the first book that looked at a specific topic through the lens of a specific piece of pop culture. Nowadays, there are entire lines of books that want to tell you about philosophy as portrayed in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, or family relationships as seen on The Simpsons, but I couldn't name any from before 1965. But then someone pointed me to a 1963 book, The Pooh Perplex, which used analysis of Winnie the Pooh as a way of looking at literary criticism. So that's at least near the mark. But I still suspect that the Gospel book was key to popularizing such books. I could be wrong. But at the very least, this was the first such Peanuts book, and certainly not the last. Short himself wrote two more, The Parables of Peanuts and Short Meditations on the Bible in Peanuts. Where the first one was more of a deep dive into Peanuts, finding both Bible references and biblical morals in the strip, the later two would more use Peanuts as a way into certain biblical topics. The Gospel According to Peanuts was a huge hit, and success does breed imitation. There are Peanuts in the Bible books such as The Doctor Is In by Maurice Berquist, about God and his relationship with humanity. Spoiler alert, he turns out to be the good guy. That book seems to have had a bit of odd circulation, that I've seen more copies being sold of the complimentary paper copy, a paperback giveaway edition, than the more durable hardback it was meant to promote. There are also more secular ones, such as What's It All About, Charlie Brown, which looked at the issues of life, love, education, holidays, and so forth, through the Peanuts lens. Although I think that the most interesting aspect of that book may be its author, Jeffrey H. Loria, and I can hear a few of you sports fans curling your toes at that. Yes, it's that Jeffrey Loria, former owner of the Montreal Expos and the Florida Marlins, and at some points described as the most hated franchise owner in sports. Although, to be fair, many a baseball team owner has had that appellation at some time or another. Or there's the books of Abraham Twersky. Let me make that clear. Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, who used Peanuts as an excuse to talk about such self-help and life advice topics as family relationships and addiction. Books like this may seem, at some level, a little silly, but they actually make a lot of sense. Peanuts is a very approachable work. It's one that a lot of people already have a connection to. And it's a very rich work, making it a very inviting foot in the door to talk about larger topics. You want to make something seem simple and clear? Use Peanuts. It's a good lesson. And that's what I figured I was getting when I first approached The Defeasible Pumpkin, An Epiphany in a Pumpkin Patch, written by David P. Hoover, originally published by the Interdisciplinary Biblical Research Institute in 1997. This was blatantly an unlicensed book. The cover has what looks like several grown-up Peanuts characters, adult versions of Linus, Charlie Brown, and Lucy, standing in a pumpkin patch. The story told in this book is one of the characters reuniting in middle age, with now evangelical minister Charlie Brown trying to convert great pumpkin-worshipping Linus, but finding that the arguments that he is used to relying on are matched in style and substance with Linus's defense of his own faith. Now, as I've said, usually Peanuts is used in order to make a work approachable for a general audience. That turns out not to be the case here. This is not meant to be a book for the general public. Open it up and you're confronted not immediately with Peanuts characters chatting, but with a preface discussing how this work is an answer to views of presuppositionalism, and particularly those put forth by Cornelius Van Til, and refers to various other works involved in this obviously ongoing discussion, with the sense that of course you're well aware of these various works. The reader will quickly discover that this is not the sort of work, for example, that was put together by Josh McDowell in Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Really, I would not have quickly discovered that. I would not have ever discovered that. But after the preface, we move on to the peanuts, right? No! After 12 pages of preface and table of contents, we move on to the essay, a supposed collaboration between David P. Hoover and Lucy Van Pelt to explain what the conversation alluded to in the preface is. The essentially intramural 20th century quarrel between presuppositional and evidential apologetes. So, a nice little brief introduction to help get the ball rolling. No, this goes on for 45 pages. We get to cover topics like Ptolemaic geocentrism versus Copernican heliocentrism along the way, of course. An aside. Anyhow, being a lifelong Peanuts fan, I have rather liberally rated the imagination of a very gifted Charles Schultz. And he spells Schultz with a T. Thank you, lifelong Peanuts fan. Now, as a storyteller, I am a professional writer, but as a storyteller, I'm reading, well, largely skimming this section, reckoning that he's doing it all wrong, that I will get to the conversation amongst the Peanuts characters, that'll show Charlie Brown and Linus trying to discuss their religion in broad terms, and display through example how Charlie Brown's logic is unable to trump Linus's because he's bringing the wrong logic to the table. And Lucy will straighten it all out with counterexample logic that actually proves convincing. And given that, the story should come first, and only after should you dive into how this conversation reflects the argument going on amongst those who discuss such things, and fine-tune the points using bigger words and citing other works. But I am wrong, at least in regards to what I expect the story to be, because the story contains such things as, the irony of it all was that Linus, too, was a presuppositionalist. Linus had long been utterly sanguine about such Van Tilian themes as, 1, absolute ontological disparity entails absolute epistemological disparity, 2, there is an absolute ontological disparity between God's being and human being, so God's knowledge of anything is qualitatively distinct from man's knowledge of ostensibly the same things, 3, the only proper reasoning on the part of the creature, therefore, is analogical of divine reasoning, i.e., univocal reasoning with God is metaphysically impossible, and equivocal reasoning isn't reasoning. 4, probability argumentation inherently impugns divine authority as to what has been made evident. 5, one makes a fundamental beginning, therefore, by presupposing the truth of the divine. And 6, the potentiality of any system of thought cannot exceed its presuppositions. If you are a student of logic as applied to Christian apologetics, this may all be very interesting to you. Or not. I'm really not the person to judge. I'm the kind of guy who will tell you that it's wrong to say that Pigpen's real name is Harold, which the author does. But as far as the rest, this is a book which is simply not aimed at me. Really. Peanuts books not aimed at me? What will they think of next? I myself own a used copy of the 1997 paperback of The Defeasible Pumpkin, which is no longer in print. But if you don't care about print, you can still get it. It's available as an ebook on the Kindle platform for about $3. Or, if you're cheaper, like me, you can download a PDF version of the book for free from the publisher's website. I'll provide a link to that in the Og blog entry for this episode. You know, I really should have been forewarned that this book was not for me by the title, because, well, The Defeasible Pumpkin? I don't even know what defeasible means. I'm not 100% sure it's a word, but if I start looking up things for this book, it ain't never gonna end. And end it shall, for there are things that I must prepare for. If by chance you are listening to this podcast on the day it drops, July 18th, 2018, and if you happen to be at the San Diego Comic-Con, you will have 2 chances to see me. I'm on a panel celebrating the 20th anniversary of my publishing company, About Comics, at noon on Thursday, and at noon on Friday, I'm on a panel about the more minor characters in Peanuts. So do come and see me. Introduce yourself. It's good to know who's listening to these podcasts. But for those of you who aren't at the con, you can still drop me a note about the podcast, what you like about it, what you dislike, what you'd like to see more of in it. Just send your comments to questions@augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. And some of you have already begun to rate this podcast through your podcast app. Thanks to those of you who have. But we could really use more ratings. It helps the app recommend this show to other listeners. So if you haven't rated yet, particularly if you use Apple Podcasts, go ahead, rate away. That'd be great. And until next time, may your baseball team be owned by the least hated man in sports. May all your pumpkins already be correctly feased, so you don't need to know if they're defeasible, refeasible, infeasible, confeasible, or inflammable. And may all your griefs be good ones.